Just to bring you back up to speed, you remember that at the end of the book of 1 Kings, Ahab the king, the wicked king, he died. And it looked like an accident. Remember, one of the guys just had one more arrow left and he shot it in the air, just thinking, well, I'll just fire this last round off here. And it just flew and it struck him and killed him. And we would call it an accident, but God had determined it. It wasn't a coincidence. It never is. There's no such animal. And so now Ahab is dead. Now, you got to remember that Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Good verse to memorize. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you remember the hate, the jealousy, the evil of Ahab? And God warned him and gave him so many opportunities to turn around, repent, come away from that. He wouldn't do it. Finally, God said, that's it, it's over. Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself into thinking that your stubbornness, our sin, we're sort of living it, but it's okay. Don't be deceived. Because what God said, if you don't turn, you're going to have major suffering and trouble. And that's what happened. He died. Now, Jezebel was warned the same well, the same way. That was his wicked wife, the queen. She was evil. She was absolutely gross. She is still alive, but God said she would die. He just didn't say when. And he said how she would die. Well, that the dogs would lick up her blood and kind of... And now... Ahab dies, and I want you to know, we start chapter 1. Ahaziah, that's Ahab's and Jezebel's son. He reigned in Ahab's place. Jezebel's sort of the mama, the queen mama now. She's going to live, listen, for another 14 years. She is the most evil, the most cruel, the most wicked that you'll read about of the queens. She's going to live another 14 years. Why? Because that's how merciful our God is. As wicked as she lived, as ugly as she could be, God, after her husband was killed, and that was specifically how God said he would die, and the dogs licked up the blood. Remember, I know that's gross, but that's exactly what happened. She figured, assumed, because she didn't, she could care less about God, she assumed it was a coincidence. Well, he went to battle and he died. That's how things happen. She wasn't remembering clearly what Elijah had spoken, the prophet. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, when you see Jezebel die, it's going to be very, very it's going to be gross. She dies in an ugly way. They throw her out the window and she bursts when she hits the ground and blood splatters her. It's gross. When you read it, you think, yuck, Lord, couldn't you have just said she died? She died as grossly as she lived. You got to think about that a moment or two. And the dogs didn't just lick her blood up. They ate most of her where there wasn't even enough to bury. Gross. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. But he gave her another 14 years. Every day, every morning, every afternoon, every evening, when it was time for prayer, she could have at any time turned. No one, not me, not you, none of us are so evil, so wicked, so gross. None of us are so bad that God would turn us away. But today is the day that you want to come back around. Turn. Come back to the Lord your God. Get where you belong. Now's the time. Don't put it off. It's not a scare tactic. Trust me, this isn't going to always be the way it is. Our world, your life, our freedoms, this is not going to be for thousands of years to come. It's just not going to work that way. Today is the day that you want to turn. Now, we start the chapter like this, chapter 1, and the book like this. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Ahab had Moab under control. That's hard to say. Israel, he rebelled against them. See, David put him in his place and held him there. But now once Ahab is dead, Ahaziah wasn't that powerful, and so Moab rebels there to the southeast of Israel. And Ahaziah, somehow he fell through a lattice and from the second floor in the upper chamber there. He felt it was kind of like weaved wood with little nice little flowers and vines growing in it. You've seen them. And not real strong, and they were latched from the inside. Maybe the latch wasn't hooked on, or maybe he somehow fell against it or leaned against the thingy. I don't know what happened. The Bible isn't clear. But he falls through it in the upper chamber that was in Samaria, and he was sick because of it. It was such a terrible fall. He was in bed, and he was hurting, and he wasn't sure what was going to happen. So he sent messengers and said this. Verse 2. Go inquire of Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, the God of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. He sends messengers and he says, I want you to go and inquire of Beelzebub. Ask that God, am I going to recover from this disease or from this illness? He fell and something went drastically wrong. I don't know what he did to himself, but he's in bad shape and he's not sure if he's going to live or not. Go ask a false god. Today, Psychic Friends Hotline. Isaiah, God says to his children, why do you seek to the dead on behalf of the living? Why not seek the living? I am God. If you want to know, why don't you ask me? Why are you seeking the dead on behalf of the living? Keep smiling, keep dialing. We get rich off people like you. Isn't that what they say? Psychic friends. You dial it, don't. But you dial it, and they ask, who is this? I'm not going to tell you. You tell me. If this is real, you already lost. They can't even tell you who you are. How are they going to tell you what's coming if they don't even know who you are? Give me your birthday. I'm not telling you my birth date. I'll just give you my name. They don't like that. You're not cooperating. Come on. You're seeking to other gods is what you're doing. Don't do that. Do not do that. If you want to know what's going to happen in the future, ask the Lord. If you want to know what you should do, how many children you should have, whether you should move to such and such a city and start that business or whatever, if you want to know, ask the Lord God Almighty. Do not seek unto false gods. So he's going to go ask Beelzebub. Well, the angel of the Lord, verse 3, said to Elijah the Tishbite, remember Elijah? Get up and go to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria. And this is what I want you to say to them. Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Why are you going to a false God? There's a God in Israel. What's wrong with you, Ahaziah? You know better than that. And today, I think the Lord would say the same thing. Why are some of my children going to seek from false gods? Is it because there is no God? Is it because I'm not real? Why would you go and ask Ramtha what your future holds? Why wouldn't you go to the living God and say, Lord, what is my future hold? By the way, there's no charge to go to God. And come on, let's just use our heads here. You go straight to God anytime. You don't have to make up special appointments. You don't have to pay for weekend retreats. You just go to the Lord instantly. You must be born again. Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? You must be born again. You must have Jesus in your heart. Then you can buy His atoning blood, His shed blood. Your sins are forgiven. You can come into the throne room of grace and say, Lord, let me know. Well, he says, because now thus saith the Lord, you shall not come down from that bed on which you are gone up, but you shall surely die. And Elijah went, gave that left. And they said to him, oh, I'm sorry. When the messengers turned back to the king, he said to him, well, how come you're turned back? What are you doing here so soon? And they said to him, a man came up to meet us, and he said to us, go, turn back to the king that sent you, and say to him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you send to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed on which you are gone up, but you shall surely die. The Lord God said, because you have sought false gods, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you're not going to live. God wouldn't put up with it. Remember, God says, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. This is going on right in Israel. Ahaziah is the king of the north of all of Israel. And he is checking with other gods. Can you imagine that? And God says, I won't put up with it. So you're going to die. And he said to them, the king said, what manner of man was he which came to meet you and told you these words? What did he look like? Tell me what kind of guy he was. And they said, he was hairy, very hairy, and he had a huge leather belt. And the king said, it's Elijah, the Tishbite. Remember, there's still a price on his head. Remember when Jezebel said, I want him killed? And he ran away, and God said, okay, now that you're rested, what are you doing here? I had to run for my life. You get back, and here are three assignments I want you to do. You don't run from them. I am with you. Remember, and God sent him on back in the game. So now Elijah's back in the game, learned his lesson. He's got Elisha along with him now, his trainee, because Elijah knows, I'm leaving. Elisha's going to take over. So the king says, that's Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. So a captain of 50 brought his 50 troopers with him. And they came to Elijah. They went up to him, and behold, he was sitting on the top of a hill. A little hill, and he's just sitting on the hill. And the commander spoke to him. The captain said this, thou man of God, the king said, come down. It's an order. You, man of God, get down here. The king wants you. Now remember, there's a price on Elijah's head. He ran before. I'm going to kill you. This time, he calmly just looks over. He was probably reading his Bible. He looks down and he says, you, man of God, get down here now. The king wants to see you. Well, he knows if I go into the king's going to put me to death. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, if I be a man of God, in other words, if as you say I'm really a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. He very calmly says, if you're right, and I'm really a man of God, then let fire come out of the sky and kill all of you. And fire came down from heaven, and they were gone. And he turned back to reading his Bible. Now before, he was afraid and he ran. And he panicked. Remember, and he got depressed even. Discouraged. And God said, I'm with you. I'll strengthen you. Stick with it. Well, when the word got back to the king, made the king angry, he sent another captain with his 50. Bible says, again also he sent him another captain of 50 with his 50. And a captain of 50 said to him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. Now I'll say that in American. You, man of God, king wants you to come down here now, right now, immediately. Elijah stops reading his Bible, looks back at him and says, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven, consume you and your 50. If you're right and I'm a man of God, then let fire come down and eat you guys up. And the Bible says, fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Crispy Critter's gone. God is trying to communicate something to the king. I'm the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. I will share my glory with no one. I am the king. I am all in all. I love you. And I will. All you need to do is come to me. Turn. But don't stand and challenge the living God. Well, verse 13. The king's angry now. Sends another captain in his 50. Now the third captain and his 50 went up, and they came, and he fell on his knees before Elijah. He climbed this little hill, leaves the 50 guys down there, climbs the hill Elijah's sitting on, bows down before him and says, "Oh, man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 servants be precious in your sight." Smart man, don't you think? Probably one who fears God. He's between a rock and a hard place. Now, you see, here's what he says. You know, he says, he falls down and he says, "I pray thee, O man of God, let my life and the life of my men be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from heaven, burnt up the two captains and their former 50s, and the 50s with them." So we've lost 102 people just in the last few hours. "Therefore, let my life now be precious in your sight." What he's saying is, I got to bring you back. If I don't bring you back, the king's going to be mad at me. If I say the wrong thing to you, that's it. I'm out, burned, gone. I don't know what to do. I'm trying to do I've got an order. I'm trying to keep the king's word. But I don't want to offend you. I don't want to offend God. I'm not coming against God. Please, could you come back with us? There's the approach, huh? Humility. Humble. Not pride. Not arrogance. Not attitude. Not, "I don't care what you say. I don't care what God says. I don't care." But humility. "Please, I need to do what I've been commanded to do because that's my job, and I'll get in trouble. And I don't want to offend you, nor do I want to attack you. I got nothing against you. But I'm in a tough spot here, and I could really use your help." And the Lord, the angel of the Lord, said to Elijah, "Go on down with this guy. Be not afraid of him." And he got up and he went down with him to the king. Notice God is in control here. He would not have gone with this man had God not said go. Elijah, I think, has learned his lesson. So Elijah would have kept sitting there under the tree saying, you know, "Thanks for being kind to me, but go back and tell the king no." But see, God said, "All right, Elijah, you can go with this one." He went down, went to the king. And he said to the king, verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, for as much as you sent messengers to inquire Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, you shall not come down off that bed on which you're gone up, but you shall die." Elijah was a brave man. There's a price on his head. He comes right into town in Samaria there. He goes before the king and says, "You know better. Of course you know better. Your mother knows better. Your father knows better. You know God is almighty, and you have sought after false gods." So God just simply says, "No, you're not coming up. You're going to die." That's a brave man, don't you think? You think he was saying it ready to run in case? So, Bible says, he died. Not Elijah, but the king. According to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram, reigned in his stead, in his place, in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, they were short, which he did, aren't they written in the book of Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? You see a couple of things as we go on now. Humility. Humility. That's something that doesn't come naturally to us. What that captain, first captain did and the second captain, that's us. Hey, I'm in charge here. You, now, man of God, down. The third man was wise and humbly said, "Please, I don't know what to do here. I'm in trouble either way I go. Have mercy here. Help me." God says, "Go with this guy." And also, Elijah doesn't move till God says move. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? That's what we're going to see next. And I keep thinking about that as we go into chapter 2. We listen to God. We trust God. We want to do what God says. But many times we're forgetting to check with Him. We're forgetting to look to Him. And so you see this now. It came to pass. after these episodes that the Lord was going to take Elijah up into heaven. How, everybody? By a whirlwind. How did Elijah get to heaven? What do we sing? Swing low, sweet chariot. We'll talk about it in a minute. Did a chariot take him to heaven? You're going to find out. No, it didn't. Interesting, huh? A whirlwind. Elijah went with Elisha, his trainee, from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, I pray thee, for the Lord is sending me to Bethel." And Elisha said to him, "As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down together, down to Bethel. It's time now. The Lord has said to Elijah, "I'm bringing you on up to heaven." And so Elijah says to the trainee, Elisha, he says, "All right, now it's time for me to go on up to heaven. So you stay here. The Lord has called me on to Bethel." There are times when you'll see that you're being tested yourself. And God says to Elijah, "Come on." And Elijah looks at Elisha and says, "Stay here." And Elisha says, "I'm your servant. I'm with you. There's no way I'm staying here." When we were at the Bible college, there are times when young men and women would say, "I'm called to ministry." Some say, "I'm called to the mission field." Some say, "I'm called to the pastorate. I'm called to whatever." And what we would do is we would begin to talk them out of it. "Oh, you called to ministry?" "Yes, I am." Some say, "I'm called to be a senior pastor." We say, and we begin to talk them out of it. Because if we could talk you out of it, there's no real call there. If someone can talk you out of or sway you away, there's no real heart. There's no real commitment. There's no real locked on calling. And so he says, "Why don't you stay here, Elisha?" Elisha says, "There ain't no way. I'm coming with you. I serve you. Wherever you go, that's where I go. Obviously, if I can't go with you to heaven, fine, but I'm going to stay with you." And so they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets, you know, they had a Bible college there at Bethel. There was a Bible college. Sons of the prophets, they were learning to really proclaim God's word. They were learning and studying the word of God to proclaim it. Young men, they came to Elisha. And they said to him, "Do you know that the Lord's going to take away your master from your head today? He's going to take your master away today? Did you know that?" Somehow the prophets at the Bible school knew it. And Elisha says, "I know it. Hold your peace." Let me say that in American. "I know he's leaving me today, but I don't want to talk about it. Please, please, let's just don't talk about it." He doesn't want to lose his friend and the one he's been following around and learning to serve. He doesn't want to lose him. "Hey, did you know, this is a rumor going around. Today, the Lord is going to take Elijah from you. Did you know that?" He says, "Yes, I know. But if it's okay with you, I'd just rather not talk about it now. It's too hard." He doesn't want to lose him. And Elijah then, in verse 4, says to Elisha, "All right, now stay here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." Stay in Bethel here and wait, and I'm headed on to Jericho. And Elisha says this, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. I am your servant. Wherever you go, I go." And so we're going together. So notice, came to Jericho. They both ended up there. Second time now, Elijah says, "Stay here. Take it easy. You know, I'm headed out anyway. I'm going to head to Jericho. It's kind of a walk. A servant says, "I'm with you. I'm going too. Look, as the Lord lives, I'm your servant while you're on the earth." And they go together. And the sons of the prophets in Jericho. Jericho's got a little Bible college too. They're everywhere. They came to Elisha and they said this, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today?" Same question. They knew too. Rumors, you know, see, travels fast. He answered them, "Yes, I know it. Please hold your peace. I'm having a hard time dealing with it. I'm going to miss him. I don't want him to go. So I know it, but please, let's not talk about it." And then Elijah says to him, poor Elisha, he's going through it, isn't he? And God is, in every step of the way here, doing something in Elisha's heart. In every step of the way, something's going on in the heart of this man. He says, no, I'm yours. You're mine. I'm with you until you're out of here. I'm going to stay with you. If you're going to Jericho, I'm going to Jericho too. And then Elijah says this in verse 6, I pray you, stay here. The Lord has just now sent me over to the river, to the Jordan. Elisha says the same thing, as the Lord lives, and as your soul live, I will not leave you. And so the two went on. There's a heart there. Paul found a heart like that in the young man named Timothy. Timothy was probably in his late teens when Paul took him to be a part of the team. Timothy was a young, young man. And he spent his years serving Paul. And as he grew and as he matured, there were times when Paul would leave him. Say, I'm going to leave Timothy here for a while. But hurry up, Timothy, as soon as it's possible. Join back up with us. We miss you. Or he'd say, I'm going to send Timothy to you. Because nobody's got a heart like this guy. And Timothy will be there for a while. But you can't keep him. He's ours. And eventually we're going to want him to catch up with us wherever we're going to be. A Timothy, the heart of a Timothy. A Joshua. When you see Moses' name, when you go back to Exodus and you read Moses' name and then you read Joshua's name, you always see it like this. Joshua, the servant of Moses. That's what you read. And Joshua spent his life when they left Egypt serving Moses. Until finally Moses got himself into a jam, wasn't allowed to enter the promised land, died. And God says, okay, Josh, you take it from here. He never knew he was being prepared to do the job. He just knew that's my master, Moses. Wherever he goes, I go. Whatever he needs to do, I do it for him or with him or whatever the case. That's my master. There's a heart. And so you got Elisha. What a heart he's got. And then this goes on in verse 7 to say this, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went. Some of the sons of the prophets from Jericho there, they went on out toward the Jordan to watch them. To view from afar off. Says they stood to view from afar off. And the two stood at the Jordan. So you got Elisha and Elijah, his master, at the Jordan. You got 50 of the prophets from the Bible college. They stood afar off just kind of watching. They just knew somehow Elijah's leaving today. And Elijah took his mantle. That's like a, what would we say, a cape. He takes his cape off that he was wearing. And he wrapped it up together and he hit the waters of the Jordan River with it. And they were divided. The waters parted. You thought only Moses did that, didn't you? The waters parted and the two walked over on dry ground. He touched with his mantle the river, the waters parted, and it wasn't a strong wind that blew all night like you saw in Exodus. It just simply parted, and they walked over on dry ground. That's a miracle. That's power. He just touches the water, it parts, they walk over on dry ground to the other side. And it came to pass, when they went over to the other side, Elijah said to his younger friend Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken away from you. I'm leaving you pretty soon. What can I do for you before I go? Isn't that interesting? Jesus says, the Son of Man is betrayed. He'll be turned over to the Romans. He'll be crucified. He'll die. But he'll rise again on the third day, as the Word of God says. And he will go back to the Father. I'm leaving you. But I won't leave you comfortless. Here's what I can do for you. Interesting, huh? He says, you know, I'm going to be gone. Ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken away from you. And Elisha immediately responded, I pray you, a double portion of your spirit, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. The power that you have and the walk that you have with God, I want that and more. I want to be like you. You're leaving me, and my job is to take the mantle and to take and to go on. What I want is to be just like you and more. That's a big request. Well, as a matter of fact, that's what Elijah says. And Elijah says in verse 10, "You have asked a hard thing." That's a big request. See, in other words, Elijah said, you know, if you wanted $10 and I had it, I'd give it to you. If you wanted my shoes, I'd give them to you. If you wanted, if I owned, whatever I have, what can I do for you? But what you're asking me is not up to me. What you're asking me is up to God Himself. I can't give you God's power. That's God. And he says, but I can tell you this. If you see me when I leave, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so unto you. But if you don't see me, it shall not be so. I can't do that for you. I am not God. Only God can do what you're asking. But I'll tell you, if you see me leave, you know God has said, all right. If you don't see me, then you know God's got a different idea. I want to be just like you, only more. There was an old man in my life oh, a long time ago. And sometimes we butt heads, we didn't get along, but I loved that old guy. He was a pastor. And I would sit and ask him questions and questions and questions. I was just this long-haired kid who half in, half out, like some of you guys are. Sort of walking with God, sort of not, depending. And I would sit with him and I'd say, well, explain to me the rapture again. Then tell me, well, then what about this? Well, then how come in my own life this is going on? Am I doing? And he would sit with me for hours and for hours. And every once in a while, as I got a little older, he would even let me fill in for him in a Bible study. Not too long, but he would let me fill in. And then he would come back and fix it. And he got older and older and older, and he was funny too, because I'd be teaching in church and we'd have a church of 18, and he's out there and I'm teaching away, boy, and I'm thinking I'm doing great, and he'd raise his hand right in the middle of church. And I couldn't not, you know, there's only 18, everybody sees the hand up. What do you do? And he's my friend, and he's old and he knows everything, at least in my mind. And he'd, yes, and he'd stand up and say, well, now you didn't point out. Thank you, sit down. Can I say something? Sure, you're going to anyway. And he would. And even though there were times when we didn't get along, and times when we disagreed, I loved that guy. And I remember one day, he came to church. And he sat there, never raised his hand or nothing. He had kind of by that time let me go. I think he sort of gave up. But you know, after the service, he came up to me in tears and he hugged me. And now we had known each other then at least 10 years. And he gave me a hug and he said, you don't need me anymore. You're a teacher now. And you know, it wasn't long after that he died. Massive heart attack and he was gone. But he waited until I was ready, or at least semi-ready. God let him hang around till then, and you hate to see them go, but now he's with the Lord relaxing, laughing at us, I know. And Elijah says, Elisha, I'd do anything for you, but I can't do that, that's not up to me. But, listen closely, if you see me leave, you know you've got it. Now, Elisha, here's a question for all you Elishas. How badly do you want it? I want a double portion of your spirit. I want to be just like you. I want to grow up and I want to be able to be like you even more so. How badly do you want it? Here's how badly Elisha wanted it. All right, Elisha, I can't give it to you, but if you see me leave, you've got it. All right, where would your eyes be from that point on? I'd be staring at that guy, and I can know Elijah. He had a sense of humor, you could tell by the things he said. And so I know Elijah would be going, Elisha, is that a rabbit over there? I'm not looking. You're not going to give me... Wait a minute. I think that's a Burger King. That's a Burger King. I'm not taking my eyes off you for nothing, man. I am watching you till you're gone. Because I am serious. I want to be like you. I want to grow. I want to be used. I want to serve. Can you imagine? They cross the river and they're walking. And Elijah is talking. And Elisha's just staring at him everywhere he moves. And he's probably weaving on purpose and turning. I know. He'd be going, look around. And I'd be going, all right. I'm not taking my eyes off you. Because I think Elisha was that serious about it. I want to be used by God like you're used by God. I want to serve. I want to do what you've taught me to do. I want to be that way. If you see me leave, you got it. If you don't see me, you don't. My eyes would be there, wouldn't yours? Staring at that guy. Don't take your eyes off him for nothing. Who cares? Who cares what comes on? I think it's a whole army of... Wait, look at that, the elephants. Nothing. I'm going to stare at you. And what happened? Came to pass, as they went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. What was the chariot and the horses' main objective? Look closely. To separate Elijah from Elisha. It divided them. It forced them apart from one another. Now, it'll be hard to keep your eyes on your master, but you're still going to be doing it, looking over the chariot of fire. I mean, now, let's face it. Chariot of fire and horses appear out of nowhere and zoom through and knock you back out of the way. You might have a tendency to watch them, huh? Whoa! Not Elisha. It ain't going to work. I know it's another one of your tricks. I'm not taking my eyes off you. I don't care about fire or horse. Who cares? No show, no nothing going to take me off you. Because I want to serve. I want to be used by God. The Bible says, the chariot of fire and the horses of fire separated those two. It came between them and forced them apart. And Elisha went up by a whirlwind into heaven. How did Elisha happen? He went up in a whirlwind. No chariot took him. Isn't that interesting? Some of your Bibles in your notes will say Elijah is taken up in a chariot of fire. That's not right. Aren't you glad that God's word's correct, but men put in the little notes at the top. My Bible writer was smarter. He says, Elisha taken up. You know how many people sing, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home? No chariot took Elijah home. He was taken up in a whirlwind. Isn't that interesting? Little things when you read your Bible. Little things. Well, Elisha, listen everybody, he saw it. The Bible says he saw it. And he cried, he yelled out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What he's saying is this, the fiery horses and chariots were a symbol basically of God's power. That was the premier military equipment of those days. Chariots and horses pulled, horse pulled chariots. Those were the foremost equipment, military equipment of that time. If you had that, you could win wars. That was considered power. And God, that was a symbol, I think, of God's power himself. As those fiery horses and chariots come through and divide these two guys, Elisha starts yelling, my father, Israel, and the horsemen thereof. In other words, the power of God is upon you, and you're being taken away. You're the power. The power of God is what we need. And that's what he's yelling. And he saw him no more. He watched him go up in a whirlwind, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them in two pieces to show his hurt. He tears his clothing because he's showing. He's just heartbroken. I knew it was going to happen, but it's hard anyway. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. Elijah's cloak fell off and fell to the ground. He saw Elijah go in a whirlwind. And he took the mantle up that fell from him, and he went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan River. He walked back, he's hurt, he's looking around. Elijah's gone. Everything, chariots of fire are gone, everything's gone. The whirlwind took him away. Now everything's still. There's nothing out there but him. And off in the distance, those 50 college students who were watching. And he comes up to the river. Now he's got the mantle that Elijah spread part of the river with before. You know, it wasn't Elijah, it was the power of God. He does something interesting. He took the mantle, verse 14, of Elijah that fell from him, and he struck the waters with it. And this is what he said: "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Good question. It's one that we should be asking today, isn't it? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God who has the power and the authority? Instead, we're looking for gimmicks, methods. That's what we're looking for. We're trying to, people say, "Well, how do I make my church grow? What's the gimmick? What's the trick? What do you guys do? Is your church growing?" Well, no. Well, then you. Is your church growing? Yeah. How are you doing it? What's the gimmick? What's the trick? You're looking in the wrong place. Where is the Lord God Almighty, the Father of Jesus Christ? That's what we ought to be looking for. We look to men and to women. Men and women who seem to have experience. They seem to have it together. We look to them. Instead, we ought to be crying out just like Elisha. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? We ought to be crying that out too. Looking to God, not to gimmicks, tricks, little programs, little different things that are going on today. We need to start looking to God. Are you looking to Him? Or are you looking to some 12-week program? Start reading your Bible. Are you looking in every Christian bookstore to find some kind of book, and you're spending money and spending money? Now, there's nothing wrong with the books. I'm sure some of them are probably good and solid. But the truth is, are you reading the Word of God? The question is, he smites the waters. He says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is he?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted, and Elisha went over. A miracle. The power of God upon this man. And when the sons of the prophets, which were there to watch at Jericho, when they saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. Look, he's got the power. That's the power of God, the Spirit of God." And they came to meet him, and they bowed themselves to the ground before him. They recognized, the Spirit of God is upon this guy, the power of God this guy's working with. They said to him, "Behold now, there be with your servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek your master." Let's go look for Elijah. Let's go see where he went. Peradventure, the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and put him on some mountain or some valley somewhere. And he said, "Don't send, don't go. Elijah has gone to heaven." But they urged him till he was ashamed, until he finally gave up and said, "Okay, go look. You think you're going to find him?" He said, "Send." And they sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days but couldn't find him. He really went to heaven. He was taken alive into heaven in a whirlwind. When they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said to them, "Didn't I tell you don't go? I knew you weren't going to find him. My master, Elijah, has gone to be with the Lord. He's in heaven." He didn't die. He just got taken up in a whirlwind and was taken straight to heaven. That's going to happen to some of us. The world laughs at us because of it. Let me show you how the world laughs. The men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold, I pray you, the situation of this city is pleasant, my Lord sees, but the water is nothing, and the ground is barren." And he said, "Bring me a new cruse. Put salt in it." And they brought it to him. And he went forth to the spring of waters and cast the salt in verse 21, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from there any more death or barren land." God, through Elisha now, the power of God, the waters are made sweet again. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spoke. God showing, "I'm using this man. This is my man. Elijah was. I've taken him to heaven alive. Now this is my man. Listen to him, and he'll be letting you know what I've got to say." And he went up from there unto Bethel. On his way from Jericho to Bethel, he was going up by the way. There came forth, and the King James says, "little children." The original language doesn't say "little children." The original language says "young men." Joseph is called a little child at 39 years old, if you'll read Genesis. The Sodomites that surrounded Lot's house, they are called in one spot little children. The word doesn't mean little babies or little infants or preschoolers or even 9 and 10 year old. It means young men, probably prophets from the Bible school. So college age. They came out and they started making fun of him. They mocked him and they said, "Go up, bald head, go up." Here's what they were saying. "Why don't you take off like Elijah did? Why don't you fly up in the air like Elijah did? Go on up to heaven." They were scoffers. They were ridiculing the truth of what had happened. Ridiculing Scripture. You know, today there are scoffers that even laugh and say, "So you think God's really going to just like snatch you up, take you away, and you're going to go off in the sky. And you're not going to die. You're just going to float off. You're nuts," they say. And they scoff and they make fun. Dave Hunt and Jonna Michelson were doing an interview, really a debate, with some Satanists. And one of the Satanists on television said this to them: "You guys are the weirdest people I know. You think that like some kind of force or something is going to grab you and take you off the earth and take you straight to heaven alive, right?" And Dave Hutt said, "Yes, I believe God's going to do that." And the Satan worshiper said, "That's why I'm not a Christian. You believe the weirdest things." That's coming from a Satanist. Think about it. Anyway, scoffing at the fact that God is going to literally take his children off the earth. And here they were doing the same thing. "Go up, Baldy." Making fun of it, obviously. Maybe he didn't have hair. You know, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, he says this: "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" And so, here, lately, even from other Christians, I hear this. They look at you and they go, "Oh, you're still here? I see you haven't disappeared. You really still think you're gonna?" "Yeah, I think we are." "Oh, well, you're still here. Last week you were still here. You've been saying this since 73 and you're still here. When are you going to give up this stupid idea? When are you going to realize that we're Christians too? God loves us, but we know we're going to go through the tribulation." I say, "I don't think so. I really think God's going to do it just like he did to Elijah. Going to take us alive instantly in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll be with him. We'll meet him in the air." And they said, "Come on. Where's your Jesus? Why hasn't he come to get you?" You need to get back to reality and get prepared for the truth. Some of us are going to make it through. Get ready. Stock up now. And you'll get okay too. And they mock and they scoff at the truth. And the truth is, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up, raptured, violently seized, snatched away to meet with the Lord in the air, to be with him forever. And encourage each other with these words, the Bible tells us. It's really going to happen. It really happened there. And the young men were making fun of him, scoffing. "You believe that? You go on up then. Go up. Let's see it. Go ahead, Baldy. Get on up there." Well, he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Remember, the power of God is upon them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord because they were mocking what God has done. They were mocking the holy word of God. And he cursed them in the name of the Lord. "And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tore up 42 of them." He went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. You live in a world, as we close, you live in a world where people are making fun quite a bit now. They're trying to get you off God's word, and they're trying to get you reality. Come on, get real. Don't believe what God says. Get real. I believe what God says. I believe God took Elijah up. Elisha saw it. Alive, go on into heaven. God said He's going to do the same thing to His church. There's coming a time when He will take His church to protect them, to keep them from that hour that is coming upon the whole world to test the world, or that time. The word hour doesn't mean a 60-minute period. It means the time, the Great Tribulation. Jesus is going to take His church, His bride, to be with Him into heaven. He said to His disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't continue to be stirred up and upset. You believe in God? Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return to get you, that you may be where I am. Why is He preparing dwelling places in heaven? So that you, the church, can go there. You will go there. If you belong to Jesus, you will. I hear pastors saying today it's not going to happen. And just hang on. He's going to get you through the tribulation. Oh, you'll be a mess. Maybe you'll be beheaded. But if you get through, hang on. Then He's coming back, and He's going to take you into the millennial reign, and you'll rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. Hold it. You forgot one part. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and get you and take you to that place. And I believe He's going to do it. And though there are scoffers and there are mockers, I say, read your Bible. Humble yourselves. We should all in the sight of the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes. Don't let anybody say, is that a rabbit? Don't you take your eyes off from where they need to be. You follow God. You watch Him. You listen to Him. You trust Him. Read your Bible. Humble hearts, broken hearts, willing to be changed, willing to turn in a moment if God says, no, wait a minute, your attitude is no good here. Willing to say, all right, Lord, then work on my, change my attitude, change my heart. Not saying, I don't care, that's my attitude, you just have to get used to it. No, really humbly saying, then turn me. If you want me to go to the left further, show me, turn me that way and help me go, and He will. Believe what He has to say. Keep your eyes on Him. Trust. Be committed. If you're called to simply serve, then do that. Don't let anybody take you off that. And if somebody takes your job, you say, wait, I was sweeping here. All right, find enough. Just you find a spot and serve. And if other people are there serving, there is always a place. Serve humbly and believe Him and trust Him. Turn your life over to Him. He loves you.